I'd like to read a very well-known passage of Scripture. Luke chapter 19 and verse 1. And he entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man by name called Zacchaeus. And he was a chief tax gatherer. And he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, that he could not. And he could not for the crowds, because he was little in stature. And running on before, he got up into a sycamore that he might see him. For he was going to pass that way. And when he came up to the place, Jesus looked up and saw him. And said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today I must remain in thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him with joy. And all murmured when they saw it, saying, he has turned into lodge with a sinful man. But Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I return him fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, inasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I think this is probably one of the first Bible stories that you come into contact with when you're a very young person. Most people know the song and the story of Zacchaeus and how he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's a story, and it's a real story. It's a real recount of what actually happened. And it's an event, I think, that's got a lot in it that refers to the gospel. We've got this man here, Zacchaeus. And we've got the Lord Jesus Christ. And they come into contact with each other. And Zacchaeus' life is never the same again. And you can see how evident that is from the way that he acts after he has this interaction with the Lord. There's a changed life. And dear friend, tonight in the gospel, your life too can be changed forever. There's something that the gospel is able to do for you. That you come in your sins and in with all your burdens, and you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're never the same person again. And dear friend, tonight in the gospel, it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Zacchaeus was changed because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come to this man here, and he entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man by name called Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax gatherer, and he was rich. The Bible has a lot to say about riches and the love of money. And it's very interesting that men and women and people of this world today are searching for something to make them happy. The Bible says about the love of money is the root of all evil. And dear friend, tonight there's many people that are searching for something that will bring them some sort of satisfaction. Something that will make them able to live their life down here, happiness. You often hear the phrase, the pursuit of happiness. Mm. People are searching for something that is going to give them that permanent sense of peace and happiness and joy in their hearts. Mm. But dear friend, tonight, I know from my life, and you probably know from yours, that there's nothing that this world can offer that can bring you a permanent sense of satisfaction. The Bible talks about the temporary pleasures of sin. And I think I'd be stupid to stand here and say that sin is not pleasurable. But the key word there is that it's temporary. What's on offer in the gospel, dear friend, is a permanent sense of peace and joy and satisfaction that only the Lord Jesus Christ himself is able to bring. There's nobody else on earth that can offer you that tonight, dear friend. But it's all down to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says here that he was a chief tax gatherer and he was rich. It also says that he sought to see Jesus. He was after something more. There was something in his life that just wasn't hitting the mark. There was something that he wanted from life that his riches and all the power that he had as the chief tax gatherer just couldn't provide. And you know, if you get to know people in this world, and if you are able to break down the barriers and the facades that people have in this world, you'll see that a lot of people are very depressed, unsatisfied, because they don't know the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. People are very good at putting on a show and very good at pretending that everything's okay. And perhaps even I'm, and Christians are able to do that as well. But But it's very easy to see that behind it all, people are not happy with their lives. There's something missing. There's something that's not there. And that the reason is that they don't have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. Mm. And dear friend, maybe I'm talking about you tonight. Maybe there's something in your life that you know you're missing. And dear friend, the answer to that is God's glad tidings. Mm. And the answer to that is coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. I was reading an article the other day where it says the most popular Google searches after 10 o'clock at night are loneliness and suicide. That's the world that we live in, dear friend. Behind the facade is a very dark and depressing world. There's a famous song about 40 years ago, I think it was, about I can't get no satisfaction. That's the world's voice tonight, dear friend. That's what the world is crying out. There is no satisfaction to be found in the world. You look in the Bible, even in John 4, the woman at the well, we talked about it briefly today in the reading, couldn't find satisfaction in anything she did. The younger son found satisfaction for a time, but then it says he began to be in want. And dear friend, tonight, if you're not looking in the right place, you will come up short time and time again. The only person that is able to satisfy your heart tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's him that's on offer, and it's your opportunity tonight to come to know him as your personal saviour. So he says he was a chief tax gatherer, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus. It says he was rich as if that was almost his defining feature. It's interesting that it's added in there. He was a chief tax gatherer and he was rich. If you look at somebody like Peter, perhaps his defining feature was his energy and his way that he sometimes acted before he thought. If you looked at Paul's defining feature, maybe was his genuine care and his interest in every single person he came into contact with. But there's something that we all have, a defining feature that every single person in this world has tonight. Every single human being's defining feature is that they are a sinner. That they've come short of God's standard. That they've fallen short of the standard that God has set out. The standard of perfection. And dear friend, tonight, we've all fallen short of that standard. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of God's glory. That means that God set out his standard, his expectation. And it's seen perfectly in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come far, far short of that. I can't remember whether it was in a prayer or whether we talked about it in the reading, about a heart-knowing God. Somebody, a God that knows your innermost thoughts and feelings, let alone the things that you say and do. This is a God that knows everything about you. And everything about you that you've ever said and done and thought has been recorded. And dear friend, one day you'll have to answer for everything that you've done in this life down here. But tonight on in the glad tidings, dear friend, is the opportunity to have that completely wiped away. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to wipe away every sin. The Bible says the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is able to cleanse us from every sin. Dear friend, tonight you can have a brand new start. Zacchaeus had a brand new start. You can see there's a real divide in this passage. He had a brand new start. He was a new creation. And dear friend, that is on offer for you tonight in the glad tidings. A brand new start. Not just a clean slate so that you can write back on it again all the bad things. A brand new start, a new heart, a new way of living. God is able to look at you the way he looks at the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's on offer tonight in the gospel. So he was seeking after Jesus. And it says that he sought after Jesus, who he was. And dear friend, it's very interesting because there's lots of opinions about the Lord Jesus Christ in the world today. There's lots of people, if you ask 100 people what they think about Jesus, you'll get 100 different answers. But it's important, dear friend, to come to the Bible and come to look at the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself. He sought after Jesus. And the Lord asked himself in Matthew 16, who do men say that I am? And it's an important question to answer tonight, dear friend. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ to you? Is he somebody that was a good teacher? Is he somebody that was a good moral man? Was he a prophet? Was he somebody that was able to do some miraculous things? Or was he, as Peter acclaimed, the Son of the Living God? That's the big difference, dear friend. The Lord Jesus Christ was the Son of the Living God. And in order to come to know him, you have to accept that he was God manifest in flesh down here. There's no other title or aspect that you can possibly come to. He has to be the Son of the living God. He has to be God's Son. Otherwise the gospel is worthless. He had to come from God's side to our side in order so that we can have our sins forgiven. If he's not God, then there's no point me preaching the glad tidings tonight, dear friend. If he was just a mere man, there's no point me standing here tonight. But the Bible says very clearly, time and time again, that the Lord Jesus Christ was God manifest in flesh. This was God coming to this very earth on the greatest rescue mission that's ever been seen, to come and save those who are completely unsavable by themselves and to bring them back to God so that one day we can stand before God and worship him for all eternity. Dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ has to be God. And so he says he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not because of the crowds and because he was little in stature. Dear friend, tonight I want to ask you a question about what's stopping you coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. What excuse or obstacle is in your way tonight to coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour? There were two things here that could have stopped Zacchaeus. One of them was he was a very short person, and the other one that there were a lot of people. And dear friend, it's very easy to get into that mindset that you think you're so small and so insignificant that God cannot possibly be interested in you. And that there's 7 billion people in this world today. How can God possibly care about one little person sitting in a room in Worthing? But you know, the Bible makes it very clear that God is personally interested in every single soul in this room tonight. You flip back a couple of pages in Luke's Gospel and it talks about that God knows the number of the hairs on your head. If he knows the number of the hairs on your head, he's interested in you. He's so interested in you, dear friends, and he loves you so much that he sent his beloved son to die so that you can come into blessing. That's how interested he is in you. It's not just a passing interest. It's a deep and intimate interest in you. So much that he wants you to come into blessing, and so much that the cost that he's paid so that you can do that is infinitely great. He is so interested in you tonight, dear friend. He loves you so much. For God so loved the world. That's every single person in the world tonight, dear friend. And I want you to know that God is interested in your soul. He wants you to come into blessing, and he's provided everything so that you can do that. A big crowd and a very small person. And then he says, so he decided to climb a tree, Zacchaeus did. And Jesus came up to the place and looked up and saw him. And he said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down." I said that God's very interested in you tonight, dear friends. And the Lord Jesus Christ was interested in this man, Zacchaeus. So much so that he called him by name. And you look back through the Bible and there's so many people that have been called by name. Adam, Abraham, Isaiah, Samuel, David. There's so many people that were called by name. And tonight, dear friend, that still small voice of God is calling you by name to come home, to have your sins washed away, and to come home. Dear friend, tonight God loves you so much. He knows your name, and he's calling you tonight in that still small voice that you can read about in Kings. And dear friend, he wants you to come into blessing. And he's given everything. He's given his only beloved son so that you can come into blessing. And so the Lord gives Zacchaeus, he says, "I must remain in this house. Make haste and come down, for today I must remain in thy house." And what did Zacchaeus do? Well, he could have stayed up the tree. But there's a point in the gospel, dear friend, where obedience has to come in. And it's interesting that it's exactly the same words. Make haste and come down. And he made haste and he came down. Word for word, exactly the same. You see, dear friend, there's no wavering in the terms of the gospel. God says that you must repent and believe. And there's no other way about it. There's no other name whereby you can be saved. There's no other method. There's no other way that you can come tonight into blessing except the way that God has provided. It's preached for the obedience of faith. And dear friend, tonight, when God says that you have to repent and believe, that's what you have to do. And who are we to argue with it? But it's the easiest thing to do on our part, because there's nothing to do except to repent and believe, because God provided everything for us. Perhaps you look around at loads of other different religions, and the qualifications for coming into so-called blessing in those religions is to go and do some great feat, or some go on some adventure, or do something majestic. But dear friends, when it comes to the true faith, when it comes to Christianity, it's about putting your faith and trust in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, what we can bring to God is absolutely worthless. What we can do in terms of our salvation, in terms of paying off our own sins, is nothing. It's not even coming close. It's not even like you can pay off one sin. You cannot do anything about any of the sins that you've ever committed and ever will commit. But you don't need to, because God's provided everything so that every sin that you've ever committed is washed away in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you come to know him tonight as your personal Saviour, you can stand before God in the same way that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to stand before God. And God is able to look at you the same way he looks on his beloved Son. And he's able to love you the same way that he loves his beloved Son. And dear friend, you're able to come into his presence because everything that you've ever done and all the sins and the sin that's within you, the sins have been forgiven and the sin has been judged, and you're able to stand before God as a righteous person. And dear friend, that's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing that we or anybody can ever do. And so he came down and he received him with joy. Joy is a wonderful symptom or an end result of coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. The world can offer you perhaps temporary happiness, but there's nothing like the joy of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. There's no substitute for that. You know, you can be put through, and there's people in the New Testament, Paul and many other Christians were put through the most horrendous circumstances, and yet they had joy in their hearts, because joy, I think, is connected with something that isn't to do with our circumstances down here. Joy is something that's connected with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're able to enjoy everything that he's got to offer, regardless of what happens in our life down here. And so Zacchaeus received him with joy. And it says that they murmured, and it says he turned into lodge with a sinful man. And that was true. Zacchaeus was a sinful man. But the Lord Jesus Christ was able to go into his house. And the Lord Jesus Christ is able to say in verse 9 that salvation is come to this house. Well, how is salvation able to come to you tonight, dear friend? How are you, a sinner, able to have anything to do with a holy and a righteous God who can have nothing to do with sin? Well, a few chapters on from this, you get the Lord Jesus walking and journeying his way to Jerusalem, where he was going to die on a cross at Calvary, where he was going to shed that precious blood, where he was going to hang there in those 3 hours of darkness, and God was going to pour out everything that he had against sin, all that wrath and anger that the Lord Jesus Christ had to bear in those 3 hours. And the soldier was going to pierce his side, and out of his side was going to flow blood and water. And dear friend, it was on that cross at Calvary where my sins were paid for. And dear friend, if you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ tonight as your Saviour, you can look at that cross and you can say that that's where my debt was paid. He says, it is finished. It is done. Everything was done in that moment. The debt was paid. I said that everybody has a ledger book, if you like, of all the things they've done wrong. But I know in that moment, dear friend, when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour, that debt was completely paid. And that ledger book was washed away completely. All the sins that I've ever committed were washed away in the precious blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And dear friend, that cross, that's to many people, that insignificant moment that happened 2,000 years ago, it is in that moment that the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross and God was able to come out in blessing. You know, that's The centre point of time itself was that cross. That was the very centre point of everything that God had created. He created this world and this universe. And at the centre of everything is that cross. And dear friend, because it was on that cross that God was able to come out in blessing and was able to bless all those that were beforehand were lost and heading for a lost eternity. And dear friend, alongside with the cross goes those 3 days later, that resurrection. We talk about it so many times. They go hand in hand, the cross and the resurrection. And dear friend, it's very important that you can't have one without the other. Because if I stood here tonight and just preached a cross, there wouldn't be any point. Because if you look at Corinthians 15, if the Lord Jesus Christ is not raised, we're still in our sins. You can't preach the cross without the resurrection shortly following it. Because the resurrection was the moment when God, it proved that God was satisfied with what Jesus had done on that cross. And he's raised, and he's no longer on this earth, but he's risen and he's seated at God's right hand. And dear friend, I know my sins have been completely taken away. Because the Lord Jesus hasn't taken my sins with him to be in heaven. They're completely gone, and gone forever, and never to be brought up again. And that can be your part as well, dear friend. That your sins will never be brought up again. It says, as far as the east is from the west. It says that they'll be put into a lake and never brought up again. There's so many different ways that the Bible tries to put it, to make the point that if you come to know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, your sins are never brought up again. And you know, the devil likes to try and do it. He likes to say that you've somehow sinned in such a great way that you can never be forgiven. Or that there's something that's happened in your past that God can't possibly forgive. But you have to turn to that wonderful verse in John. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. He wouldn't have said all if he didn't mean it. If the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice on that cross wasn't sufficient for all my sins, it's not sufficient for any of them. And dear friend, tonight, the Bible says, it's not me saying it, the Bible says, God says, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is able to cleanse you from all sin. And that's a wonderful, secure foundation to build on. So you have the cross and you have the resurrection. And dear friend, those two great events are the center point of the glad tidings. And so we get here, he came into this, salvation has come to this house. And Zacchaeus, as I said, he was a changed man. There's an effect of coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Christianity is not just a theory or something that you can come into and just sort of say, yes, I did that once upon a time. I accepted the Lord Jesus as my Saviour and go on living the same way you've always lived. The Bible says that once you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, a change happens in your life. A change happens straight away. You're written down in the Lamb's Book of Life and you're given a hope and you're given the Holy Spirit. But there's a gradual change as well that happens, that your life becomes more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear believer tonight, I'd ask you the question, if you look back over the last few years of your life, have you become more like the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you shown in the way that you live your life through the power of the Holy Spirit that you're living a life down here that is, it's almost like you are God's representative now down here. The Lord Jesus Christ is living his life down here through the actions that you take. Dear friend, tonight I just want to ask you, dear believer, I want to ask you the question, is your life becoming more like the Lord Jesus? Are you becoming more like the person that God wants you to be? Because God doesn't just leave you down here and that's it. He starts to put you to work and he wants you to do certain things and to, live a life down here that is pleasing to him. But he's not expecting you to do that of your own accord. He gives you the Holy Spirit in order to do this. And that's one of the wonderful things about coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, is you're given the person, the Holy Spirit, this wonderful power inside of you to live a life that is pleasing to God. Beforehand, you can't do anything that's pleasing to God. Even the most wonderful and majestic act is nothing in God's sight. But as soon as you are doing things in the power of the Holy Spirit, as soon as you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're able to live your life down here as pleasing to him, waiting for that moment when one day he will call all those that believe on him to himself. You have that wonderful hope. The gospel is not just about being saved from the penalty of hell and having your sins washed away. That would be wonderful if it was just that. But there's so much more on offer in the gospel. There's so much, you know, I could speak for hours and hours about the amount of stuff that's in the gospel. There's just an infinite amount of blessing that God is able to give you tonight, dear friends. It's not just about having your sins forgiven. That's wonderful in itself. But there's a hope, there's so much to it. But anyway, we've got this man here. He has a changed life because of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friends, that's what's on offer tonight in the gospel, that your life can change, that you can have a new hope in your heart, a new destiny to go to when you leave this earth. Whether you pass through the veil of death or whether you come caught up in the air with all those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're able to have God's guarantee that when you leave this earth, you will spend eternity with him in heaven. But before that, there's so much blessing that God wants to give you right now. Gospel's not, and the glad tidings is not just something to look forward to, but it's something that you can come into right now. You have a shepherd and a friend and a guide in the Lord Jesus Christ, who's able to shepherd and guide you through all that you do down here. We spoke about Jacob earlier, a man that was able to look back on his life and see the way that God had brought him, protected him, gave him blessings along the way. And he walked out of line a number of times, as we all do, but he was able to look back and see how God had protected him and blessed him. And dear friend, again, that's just something else that the gospel is able to offer you, a shepherd and a friend and a guide in the Lord Jesus Christ. But most importantly, you need to come to know him as your Saviour. That's the initial point of the gospel, is that you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour. And I pray that before you leave this room tonight, you may know him as your Saviour and your Lord. For his name's sake.
Amen.
Can we sing 439?
439. Jesus lingers.